Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of bitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
This the way we get down. Tomorrow, Nappy Roots Dynasty, yeah, Juicy Black Power Cordell, this living hieroglyph, the truth in your ear, run it, these rappers sucking dog dicks in the closet, but you love them cause they pay your first and 15 deposits, lot of niggas broke and starving with CDs in their trunk, them dummies signing major deals and white to eating them up, I spit the desert, he don't guarantee, some may hate and disagree, entertainment's only a small revolution remedy, I know a lot of toes across the country, plateau, found that lock and load so we could bump and never borrow. Street code propriety, black power dynasty. Fuck boys and skinny jeans can't rock in our society. We should buy food, land, shelter, most choppers. To train the wicked cat, they serve them something proper.
Wake up, black man. Wake up, African man, African woman. Wake up. Take back what is yours. Do not ask these bitches for your shit. Take it.
Black power rock.
Problem.
just ain't joined in with this situation. The cracker is throwing blows, but you ain't throwing no blows back. You taking all the motherfucking pain, the punishment. You understand what I'm saying?
Black power, brothers and sisters. This is Fasami, your sister, your comrade. Let's get it started. What sparked this show was a couple of things. One, me on my own behalf going to other radio shows, not just here on Blog Talk, but especially here on Blog Talk, when I do have the time to go and listen to other radio shows, I hear a lot of nonsense. And I'm not putting anybody down. I'm not putting anybody on Front Street. I'm just noticing a lot of nonsense. I'm hearing a lot of stuff that will not help us get free. I believe that we are spiritual beings, and we do need to delve into the spiritual realm of things. However, when it gets too spooky, I'm thinking to myself, how is this going to really help us get free? So, each and every day when I wake up, I got to think to myself, what is going to help my people get free? That's on the forefront of my brain, the frontal lobe of my brain. What can I do today to help my people get free? So that's what sparked it. Then I got an email from an avid listener of Black Power Radio, the new Black Panther Party Radio, and Fasami Show, and when me and Brother Godzulu were together on the Drop Squad radio, he was an avid listener to us, and he asked me a question. He asked me, let me get down here. It's in an email on the Drop Squad. He said, the main goal is to ask yourself in detail, what is your plan? A motto I try to live by daily. Hotep. So what I said was, okay, well, I don't know exactly where he's coming from. I know he is a conscious brother. I know he is a revolutionary. I know he has a heart of Nat Turner. So let me go ahead and put it out here and tell him what I think or what my goal is and what my plan is. My main goal, how I put it in the email in a response to him, my main goal was to have a nation of our own. My plan is as follows. To secure land, number one, that's one. Number two, to eradicate all imposters who are counterproductive and really are not aligned with that agenda. Number three, to obtain a well-trained military and arsenal. Number four, to make sure that we have the best of the best to help build our infrastructure, i.e. doctors, lawyers, engineers, scientists, teachers, etc. Number five, to have our own economic system / currency. Not sure which one is the best yet. I think that was number five. Number six, to make sure that all people in our nation are self-sufficient and military trained. Number seven, to make sure we have a place, to make sure we have in place a system with our children to make sure they understand. They have to pick up the torch and never forget and never let these people back into our society. We must always fight. I also included in that email, I cannot get into detail too much on the net, but this is a start. He said, I really thank you, you know, but I have a few ideas, you know, kind of help refine what your plan is. So, you know, we had spoke, and he gave me seven things, but I added on the eighth. The seven things were, and I'm going to go through them quickly, and then we're going to delve into it. Seven things is agriculture and land. The second thing is education. The third thing is medical. Fourth thing is security. Fifth is international trade. Six is media. Seven is finance and economy. Eight is technology. Let me read those things. I added on the eighth thing, technology. Let me read those again because I know when people did really get their pen and their paper out, their pens and their paper out. So I want to repeat that. Agriculture / land. Number two, education. Number three, medical. Four, security. Five, international trade. 6, media. 7, finance/economy. 8 will be technology. I have the brother on the line who reached out to me with that email to discuss his expertise is economics and international trade. His name is Brother Person Kidd. Y'all have seen him in the chat room many of times on all these on the three radio shows I stated earlier. Another thing that sparked this is I'm getting tired of talking. We've been talking. I remember on Marcus Garvey on his birthday, I went and I listened to, so I just went and re-listened to some of his speeches. I know Damian Marley, he has on his song Confrontation a snippet of one of his speeches. And this brother was talking about this stuff 90 to 100 years ago, you know? And we're still talking. We're still talking. We're still talking about what we need to be doing. We still are having some kind of mental masturbation with each other or ourselves or whatever the case may be. It's time to stop talking and actually do something. It's getting to the point where it's becoming mind-numbing, and I don't understand what more we have to see, what more we have to go through, what more we have to endure. We are standing neck deep, as Brother God Zulu always states, we are standing neck deep in the blood of our ancestors. We don't have a moment, a second to waste on any more bull. I'm leaving the rest of it out, but we don't have a second to waste on this rhetoric, this bull crap, these things. Prime example, went on to one radio show, they're discussing black men lactating and feeding their babies, breastfeeding their babies. In actuality, whether it can happen or whether it can't, that's really irrelevant. Question is, how is that going to help us get free? How is that going to help us get a nation? How is that going to help us beat the power structure? How is that going to help us bang on this beast? How is that going to help us bang on this 10,000-pound gorilla called racism, white supremacy? It's not. No man lactating is going to help us get free. So therefore, that is the purpose for this show. And what we're saying here is not the end-all, be-all. This is a skeleton. You add on and you subtract from this plan, this program, what you can and what you will, according to your geographical location and according to the resources you have readily available to you. So, that being said, I'm going to go ahead and get into the crux of it. Brother Person Kidd, are you on the phone?
Yeah, I'm here. Hotep, y'all. Hotep.
Hotep, brother. How are you tonight?
Always good. As long as I'm on this good side of the dirt and black, I'm going to be all right.
Beautiful, beautiful. I want you to talk about a little bit about what it is that you do and tie in the international trade and the economics in what you do. I'm going to take a back seat on this because I'm not going to lie. I'm not that well versed in it, but I reached out to you to help me with that. When I need help, I don't mind asking. I'm not arrogant when it comes to needing help. If I need help or if I got questions, everybody on here knows I'll ask retarded questions just because I want to know. So anyway, why don't you tell the listening audience a little bit about what it is that you do and the international trade and economics, okay?
Yeah, and before we get into that, I gotta let you know that the only retarded question is one that's not asked. You do what like 98% of the people won't do, and that's why you're going to succeed, because you ask questions.
Thank you.
And you're
Thank
not afraid.
You.
I mean, you will succeed. There's no doubt about it. And that's what I have to do, is I have to succeed by asking questions. And if I don't, then I know that that's, you know, the worst question is one that's not asked. The thing is, you know, of course what got me into trading and what got me into economy and stuff is I saw the condition we're in. Now, I look at chat rooms at a lot of these stations, and I like to see what people are they paying attention? Are they, you know, where is their mindset? And I want to ask everybody, especially folks in the chat room, yes or no question. Are you comfortable where you're at? And I'll wait to see some of the responses.
Mm-hmm. Are y'all comfortable where you're at?
Maybe it's going to take a little while to get responses. I don't see response, so apparently I'm going to take that as an affirmative. Next thing, are you comfortable where black folks are at?
Well, let's see what they say. Okay, on point, Brother Majestic says no. And I'm assuming, I know Brother Majestic personally, I'm going to say, and I know Brother Pianchi personally, they're all saying no. And it's for both questions. No, they're not comfortable where they're at, and they're not comfortable where black people are at.
Now, here's a simple question. If you know that you're going to have your hand on fire, and you know it's an uncomfortable position, you don't want to put your hand on fire. It's that simple. Okay? And here's why I said that. And a lot of times, like I say, I like to ask questions. Okay? I like to ask questions. If you know you're uncomfortable, and if you know that you don't want to be there, then you know you have the ability to change it. As you were talking about the I need tis, I'm so sick of the I need tis. Like I said, I've been I needed to death. I mean, I hear so many nationalists and so many programs and the we need tis. No, there's no more time for that, okay? Looking at international, what got me into this, Sister Fasamni, what got me into this is I saw our measure. I started listening to a lot of nationalist radio stations, and I learned how to trade, and I listened to a few. And then I got so heads over heels, I saw how everybody else was making, I'm talking about big-time productive moves for their nation, for their collective, for their people, and doing it in a short span of time, using our resources as Africans, whether it's human or whether it's our national resource, and it doesn't matter if it's on the continent of Africa or if it's on the diaspora, they're using our resource, okay? They're using whether mm-hmm. we're shoppers and consumers or they're using us as our working for them for a living or whatever. And I was like going, wow. So either we're comfortable or we're not making the right move. And if we're uncomfortable, then we know what not to do. Okay? It's that simple.
Right.
So looking at this, it really got me into it. And the more and more I got into it, the more and more I got to, like, meet a lot of folks that are making more paper than most people's homes, the entire block that they live on. You know, these people can, their living rooms cost that much, And I started meeting a lot of these folks and what they're doing. They're talking about how they're building farms for their people and what they're – and I was thinking, wait a minute, that's not right. No. It should be Africans for Africans doing this, okay? And that's what really, really propelled me doing it. I've traveled in the music industry. I've been in the music industry for almost 40 years, so I've been with almost, any celebrity you can imagine and toured and traveled, and I saw the waste that was there, and then I saw what crackers and others were doing with their resource, and I was like, wow, either we're comfortable or we're out of our minds, okay? And there's a little, a little formula, or it's actually a really, really simple thing. Comfort breeds convenience, which breeds inaction, which breeds laziness. That's a disease that poverty soon overtakes. And I might be wrong, but I look at economy and I look at numbers and I look at statistics every single day. And I think that we're a little bit more on that poverty level from comfort, convenience, inaction, laziness, and then poverty. And I'm not saying all of us, but I'm saying that I've seen that there's evidence of that happening, and there's an overwhelming amount of that. So, and a lot of that is not saying people don't want to go out and work and do things, but it's a lot of this we need to, debating over if somebody's Islamic and somebody's a Moor, if somebody's black or somebody, it's not doing things. It's not going out and getting your hands dirty, whether it's learning a trade or helping each other out, or trading amongst each other, or developing your own economy, or just something more than just we need to. And I'm not trying to throw stones, but I have to say the evidence is right there for us. When you were talking about international trade, and these eight things, because there's all these eight things tie together: health, agriculture, mm-hmm. security, international trade, technology, finance, and media.
Yes.
Okay,
they all tie together.
They all work hand in hand with each other. Okay, if you're not eating good food, your medical is going to be high cost. If you can't protect that food with good security, then you're not going to have good food to eat. You're going to be subjected to eating McDonald's. If you don't have finances, you can't buy seeds to get the food. If you don't have technology, how are you going to learn how to create the products to keep to continue to grow more things? So you can have, all this stuff works hand in hand. And these are the things that we have at our disposal. International trade is not just dealing with someone in the Philippines or somewhere in Kazakhstan. International trade is also within your own families, okay, within your neighborhood. everybody, I listen to a lot of John Henry Clark, and I watch him, and I was looking at Chancellor Williams' book as you were talking, and I was just looking, and I'm looking, and that's 2,500 years right there that he was that he stated on his book, and I'm like going, something is wrong, okay? We're talking 2.5 millennia.
Yeah.
Something's askew for Africans, okay? When I said international trade, we have our own little nations, the nation of Islam, the nation of Moors, the nation of gods and earth, the nation of black power, the nation of the – we have so many different nations. We're trading with everybody outside of our nation, i.e. crackers, buying burritos from other people. When we go in these lectures, we're renting halls that belong to crackers and Jews. We're going out buying their water. We're doing all this trade with others, but there's no international trade amongst ourselves. You know, I mean, these are just common sense. Now, when I say, like, international trade, of course, you want to sell your products to other races at a premium. You know, you want to make sure the Hispanics and the Philippines are paying 10 times as much as you would sell an African. But you also want to put that money back into African pockets and keep it, you know, a lot of basic Claude Anderson, what I call Claude Anderson theory, you know, just common sense, you know. But these are just the little things that we can do. We literally have the world in our hands, and I see it every day. And I've never seen this kind of wealth or this kind of opportunity squandered so fast at such an exponential rate. It's just unbelievable.
Please tell me the statistics that you quoted to me when it came to black women, especially with their hair and nails. What was the amount you quoted me?
Yeah, we were doing research a few years back, and it's only elevated now. And it was actually evidence when we saw the sisters over there in Atlanta and brothers asking Moxa for a dime for some free housing, you know. I'm not throwing some of them. I'm just telling it as it is. You know, can I talk straight? I'm going to talk straight with it.
Right.
All right, I asked sisters, how much does it cost you in one setting to get your hair done or your nails done? And they would tell me. And then I said, okay, how long is that shop open? How many sisters go into that shop? And in a rural setting, and I'm not sure if it was Seattle or it might have been Seattle, it might have been Ohio, but we were just looking at just one small section, you know, where they have competing nail shops where the Asians are competing. And that one small section, they cleared about $110 million that year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's in one small section in one city. And it wasn't even like a major city with a lot of black folks. Now, when we saw that and we started projecting exactly how much, and especially the bigger cities and others, we found out that the billions, and there is billions spent on hair care and nail salons and stuff like that, that, you know, we figured out that 20% of what they spend, if they put it into the right natural resource, the right fund, all these sisters, had they done that in 4 years, they'd have enough to have royalty income for the next 10. The sisters would never, ever have to work in their lives again. And we're talking nationwide if they were to think of the collective, ever. They'll never have to punch a clock for anyone else in their lives again. That's the kind of residual. We were looking at the time premium that brothers spend playing games and Madden and watching TV, watching all the sports. Do you know that brothers spend more time playing and watching sports in one season or 1 year than it takes Korea and some of these other places to build small cities?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was looking at the time that brothers spent debating. And, you know, when they go and they do their lectures and their debates about who's more Islam and who's more this and that. We did the analysis of the time that was spent. In L.A., 8 Mexican homes were built in the time that they did in about 4 of their lectures with the man hours that were spent. Okay, with the man hours. Not just the time, but the man hours that were spent. Everybody attending the lecture and the lecture in and of itself. So if you get like 80 people at a lecture and it's a 2-hour lecture, that's 160 hours right there. 8 Mexicans built homes, lavish, in the same amount of time. It took the. I mean, this is what I'm saying about inactivity, because, or I should say, skewed activity. Okay, I mean, we do a lot of this research. The amount of money that black folks spend on fast food in a year, they could buy or pretty much have a significant ownership in all the cattle industry in United Snakes and New Zealand to beef, and they're one of the biggest beef exporters. I mean, this is what we're so close to getting back in chains, Sister Fafani, from the research that we see. It's like, I can't believe the opportunity that's squandered.
Well, let me ask you a question. How would people, now personally, I am currently, I'm very close to a sister who's over in Liberia who's running for a public office. I'm currently close to a brother in Ghana who owns property and hotels over there. His family and him owns hotels. Excuse me. We're trying, especially with the sister, I'm trying to start an import-export business. Tell the brothers and sisters, because a lot of the Africans that are over here are not, they're the token Africans. They're not the revolutionary Africans. They have to leave them over there because they don't want to start bridging that gap between us and them over there because they know that would just be too much for them to handle. So, that being said, I'm already trying to bridge the gap. I'm trying to get this established so I can have sisters like the sister who runs Dashiki Woman's Store to start importing stuff from over there and selling it to us at a minimum price. You know, she's not getting duped out of her money. It doesn't say made in Tijuana. It doesn't say, or Taiwan, or it doesn't say made in the Philippines or China. It's actually authentic African, authentic African product. And vice versa. I mean, we have to start thinking on a global level. Everybody else is thinking on a global level. How would someone like me, how would somebody who probably has never been to college and never had to take economics 101, but they have the self-determination, the will, and the drive to want to start international trade, how would they get into it? We need to make it simple.
One, by talking to people that you want to do trade with, asking them everything they need, not what you want from them, not what you want to them, but what do they need, okay?
Mm-hmm.
See what you have. Is there something that you can provide that they need? Is there something that you can do? Communication. When I start talking about Africans, I always call it home, okay? And instead of a they, them, we, us, I say our family back home, okay? That way, our family knows back home that we're still family. I have friends and brothers and sisters, family in Ghana that I'm always saying, oh, yeah, that's my family back home, okay? When we start to break those barriers, because we have a serious scar between us and our family home, okay? This scar is so deep it's unbelievable. I mean, when I talk to Mexicans, and I've toured and been around Mexicans that have hundreds of millions in their bank accounts, okay? Because this is what they, you know, these are entertainers and, you know, other folks, and I see what they do. We never hear a they-them amongst us. And when they're talking amongst us, I never hear the words they, them, or whatever. And they might say that to themselves, but I don't hear it amongst us, you know, when non-Mexicans
right.
around. They always use the terms we, our, us, you know, and when they're talking about anyone else, they say you guys, yours, those, and them, you know. So when we mm-hmm. start to bridge, that's the first thing. We have to identify, I don't care where you are. Like the song says, if you're black, you're an African. Okay, that's the first and foremost. Next thing is, what do you need? We have all the materials and the things that our family needs, okay, whether it's in Brazil, Colombia, back home, Venezuela, New Guinea, whatever. You know, whatever Africans, wherever they are, we have the infrastructure. We have things that they might not be able – that our family might not be able to get, like books, like access to information, maybe even a couple of dollars, whatever it is. We have that ability, so we can provide those needs. Once you start doing that, then, of course – everybody recognizes your family. Then all of a sudden you find out, okay, this is what you have, this is what we have. Is there something I'm doing that can help what you're doing back home, okay, whether it's import and export? My cousin, he has several farms, or I should say, actually he's more like an uncle, but, you know, he's my mom's cousin. He has farms over there in Tanzania right now, okay, and he's a developer and, you know, has several buildings and whatnot. And what it was is, you know, it was that mentality of, you know, that's home, okay? And even the farms are named after the stolen African tribe, you know, on my mom's side, the African tribe that was stolen. I mean, he named everything just to keep that basis of saying, you know, hey, guys, we're still family regardless. You know, we're still, you know,
right.
All we are is separated by water in a few hundred years, but we're still family.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so I would
now,
start there.
Economics. Can you break down the economics and, like, it was a brother a while ago, and I know Nita is about to start dying laughing. He said we need to start our own currency. Currency has to be backed by something. Even though the U.S. dollar has not been backed by anything in a while, it's still an established currency. So us starting out, it has to be backed by something. Well, family, we don't have anything except for U.S. dollars. We don't own anything. We're not trying to own anything. So that's going to stop today. I'm like I said, I'm tired of talking. I'm tired of whatever. So Let's talk about the economy and currency and how can we start this for our nation.
A while back, they brought up this thing, and it was a while ago. I think it was like in the 80s, late 80s or whatnot, you know, and you know, I kind of remember it, and they were brought up black dollars. Currency or whatnot, and everybody, we get all these discussions, and, you know, and it's funny because, you know, I did this analysis in one of my YouTubes, and I was talking about how black folk like to debate. You know, I mean, we love to debate, but we won't debate the outside world. but that's
right.
Another issue. The thing is currencies, there's so many discussions about currency and about fiat currency and what the Fed is doing. What I get that every day, 24 hours a day on my bond desk. Mm-hmm. I could care less. What economy is not that. It's not about, you know, we tried to have black dollars, and you see where that got us. You know, I don't know anybody
right.
who's using them right now on a grand scale. What it is economy is not about just money and finance, okay? Economy, and I say this on several radio stations, actually I may be doing a TV interview on it, is the four T's. Time, till, toil, and task. Let me say it again. Time, till, toil, and task, okay? Gangbangers and degenerate thug Negroes have those four T's. They have their economy. The Mafia had a separate economy. Russians that are running those, you know, hoes up in New York have an economy. The Vietnamese out in L.A. that are taking money away from sisters left and right have their own economy. Time is the time you put into something, okay? The task is the task at hand, whatever that task is, whether it's gangbanging or whether it's building a building. Toil is the actual work, whether it's Gomez over there putting up roofs or whatnot or selling oranges on the street. That's toil. That's the actual process. And the till is the money that goes into it. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be just money. It could be trade. It could be services. Somebody's building a website for somebody who's writing a book for them, who actually is the sister of a painter who's painting someone's house, who's fixing the plumber's house, who just so happens to have a brother who's an agriculturalist that's giving the guy who's doing websites some fruit. You know, there's money, there's just services that have been transacted, okay, within all these people. And they didn't even have to spend one fiat dime. They didn't have to go out of their pocket for one, you know. They used time, task, toil, and till. And the till was just what they did, what the talents that they have. I mean, we're some amazing people, Sister Fatonomy. Africans are the most amazing people and actually the only people on this planet. Okay, we are. When we start to utilize this and realize that these are the things of what an economy is, it won't take the money is just a byproduct of it. Okay, the money can be made. It's just what we do with those four T's to actually, you know, did you know somebody that does something? That person might do something. That person might do something. Next thing you know, everybody's mission is accomplished. You know, so it's mm-hmm. you know it's kind of hard because a lot of us are like struggling to pay. You know, we're begging massa for a dime. Whether it's, you know, homeboy down the street getting a pension, somebody getting a VA, or 30,000 of us trying to get Section 8. You know, we're still begging for the things that we know we have the ability. Look at, case in point, 30,000 people. Do you know how many of those folks out there were probably skilled in some kind of something? It doesn't matter what it is. It takes money to eat. So, of course, everybody's still alive, so they had some kind of money. It takes money to get their hair and nails done, or it takes money to buy rims or a car to get there to ask Master for a dime. Everybody has some kind of talent, some kind of something that we can all trade amongst each other and help each other and do something that someone else doesn't have. But instead, yet, our diversions are either on spirituality, fighting about whose religion is better, whether it's a Muslim or whether it's a Hebrew, or mm-hmm. is bling-blinging and other things. So it's back to those things, the solution that I gave you, or the formula of convenience, comfort, inaction, laziness, and, of course, poverty.
Okay. Well, brothers and sisters, now we're going to move into obtaining land or agriculture. Now, we need that not only to help build our infrastructure, but having our own land, that equals wealth. Brother General D, I see you in there. You're talking about we need our own city, not currency. Black folks need to build wealth. Well, that's right and that's wrong. We need more than a city. We need our own nation. A city is not big enough for 13 million people. So, and I'm trying to be optimistic with those figures of 13. How many of us is there? I don't know the last. What did the last consensus say?
Yeah, they were trying. What was it like? 44 million or something like that.
Okay, 44 million. A city is not large enough. for all of us. So we need a nation. We need, and I'm going to get on that in 1 second, so just hold tight, Brother General D. I love your spirit. If we have our own land, that is wealth in itself. People ask, well, how is just having some land wealth? Well, the products that you grow on this land, the food that you grow, that will help with the gross national income. The fact that we will not have to depend on psychopaths to feed us and our children, that's a plus. We need our own land for these reasons. We can have products then to stock our own grocery stores. We don't have to we don't have to trade with the European and his synthesized and mechanized and drugged up food. I mean, look at our children. It's a stark contrast to how we were back in the 70s and early 80s to what these children are today. Yes, children have not changed that much. It's the parents that have changed, but you have to admit there is something different about these children. Why is a 6, 7, 8-year-old, why do they have little boobies? It's not natural. It's not natural. Even if you don't feed on McDonald's, why are they starting their menses at this age? We need to take control of our food supply. You do not entrust your enemy. You do not entrust your enemy to feeding you. That is rule number one in warfare. That is the first thing. They poison your food supply and they poison your water supply. So therefore, don't trust them to feed you. But like I said, we can have these products to stock our grocery shelves. We can use these products also for medicinal purposes. We have been known to go out in the woods and get something. And prime example, I'm just going to use this as an example. If you want to stop a cut, if you have a deep gash, go and get a cobweb. That's a natural Band-Aid. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people have been removed from that. You have all kind of stuff that you can eat. A lot of people don't even know how to make dandelion soup anymore. You know, these are things that we need to get back to. Like I said, we can use this food for medicinal purposes. We can use this land for medicinal purposes. That ties into the medical. We don't have to worry about so much paying these European doctors with this Western medicine that actually, in all actuality, kills us. We can actually have our own and stop, like I said, the suffering and the pain that our people have to endure. We can use our food and our land for medicinal purposes. Agriculture also goes into not just growing food, but it also has to do with what you consume and what you put in your body. Me and Brother Person Kid was talking earlier today. It's not just about agriculture and having your own land. Agriculture is not just about, you know, irrigation and planting and harvesting and all that other stuff. It's about what you consume and what you're putting in your body. We can also have the barter system. Say, for instance, I like to grow basil, and Sister Nina, she likes to grow, green peppers. Why might I not like to grow green peppers or let's say watermelon, because they're real viney. It's a lot of vines, and she might have a watermelon patch, but she needs some basil or she needs some spices. Well, now I can have a couple of her watermelons, not to sound like a stereotype, and she can have my spices, you know, some of my spices. So that's, we can use our land to do a barter system. And that will also help us become more financially independent of this system that we live in. Being a collective, complete, and whole again. We have to learn that this whole self-centered, this whole me attitude is not an African attitude. This is definitely a European attitude. So we need to get off of that. What I have is yours. If you need something and I got it, it's yours. You are my sister. You are my brother. Without you, there is no me. So when it comes down to it, we need to get back to being how we were, a collective, complete, and whole again. Our education system, or education, or lack of, should be the next one.
Yeah. Well,
Go ahead. You hit it.
Yeah. See, the thing is black folk, all these tie together. And I got to tell you, because y'all are family, okay? We all come from the same root. Nobody else comes from, so y'all are black, you're my family, bottom line. The thing is all these things tie together so well. For instance, if you can't learn, or an education is nothing like going into some European school and trying to recite. That's just doing things like a parrot by rote. Education is the practical application of information. When you have crackers like Bill Gates, you know, that little devil, running around with his billions, and he's a C student, you know, and all he did is had some information, practically applied it, made a lot of money, and now he's trying to destroy Africa. No, we can stop that, because not only you put anything in our hands, okay, see, these are three things, that us family, that we have, that nobody else on this planet has, and I normally don't say this on a forum or anything public because others try to use it, but only we as Africans possess these three traits. We're survivalists, we're extremists, and we're entrepreneurial. Here's what I mean. Brother Kush from PKV, and I listen to PKV, I take their word. PKV and War on the Horizon to me are the epitome of what we should all strive for as Africans.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Kush said something that hit me, and I'll never forget it. He says, we're so resilient and we survive so well, you could throw us in the ocean and we grow fins. That's how survivalist we are. Doesn't matter what conditions we're in, we survive. We're extremists. Mm-hmm. Whether it's Pimp Daddy, Tiger Fat, Mulatto Woods, or whether it's whoever, Master P or whoever, you put something in our hands and we take it to the limit and do it better than anyone else. Even if it's a Negro with a golf club, or if it's a cat with a basketball or some mixtapes, we do it better than anyone else. We're entrepreneurial. We're extremist. The entrepreneurial. And we're survivalist. We have those things that the other races might possess maybe one or two, but they do not. Anytime we ever want to even think about what Africans are capable of, who invented the wheel and who discovered fire? Bottom line. Okay, nobody would have that if it weren't for us. Okay, so we could stop all questions from that about our accomplishments. We know we're the greatest, so we should behave and act and progress as it. Education is nothing but practical application of information. A lot of us are informed. We have all this information. I'm dropping the info or this info. No, I mean, we have a lot of things that we know before anyone else. That's why we can judge the outcome of a Judge Judy show before it even ends. You know, we know what's going to go on. Why not share that information, okay? Why not? There's several things as Africans that are keeping us from doing it, but we can do this, okay? When we apply, education ties so deeply into these eight principles. Without education, you can't develop the technology. And when I say technology, it's developing the technology, not going ahead and just using it and playing games. I'm talking about being the one that says, I created this that makes a car run on air, or I can make a car run on thought. You know, I don't care what it is, but developing the technology, whether it's, you know, knowing how to make sure water or plants can grow without water, I don't care what it is. You know, we have that. But without education, we can't get there. You can't plant something if you don't know how to do it. You know, without good food, you don't have good health. Without good health, you can't go out there and create business to get finance. Without security, how are you going to secure the things in your finance and your food and your education? And here's what I mean by securing education. Education has a lot to do with what's called intellectual property. Black folks are the only people in the world that have not taken full measure and had full recompense for the intellectual property that we taught the world. We taught the world everything from how to go out there and stay out of the rain to the first bed to that was our intellect that created all this. Whether it's mixtapes, whether it's, you know, had a slam dunk in a basketball game, it was our intellectual property that we literally give out to the rest of the world. We share it free. But because of the lack of practical application of information, or i.e. education, we haven't received the proceeds we need. We created these things. We taught the world how to use fire. We taught the world, yet they're using it against to subjugate us. Well, that's got to stop right now. And that's why I say we're family, because we have the ability to turn it off. We could end this world and end everybody's – without us, they would not exist. Okay, that's bottom line. We know that. Everybody should know that by now. The thing is to know these eight principles, technology, agriculture, the security, the health, the international trade, whether it's within your own families, your neighborhoods, or selling stuff to some Jew at 10 times the markup. International trade is just making sure you can repatriate that back. Whether it's, you know, these are just very small steps.
Well, Brother Kidd, I wanted to really get on this education because we only have 15 minutes left before we have to start taking questions and answers. I wanted to get on that. Let's not hand our children over to the people that hate them. We have to understand that. Look, it is a must. And let me repeat that one more time because I don't think y'all really get it. I know probably my listening audience, any of those who are first-time listeners or whatever, do not hand your children over to people that hate them. There is no ambiguity when it comes to that. They have made it clear. They have drawn the line in the sand. They hate your babies. They hate you. They hate the womb from which it comes. They hate you. So do not hand your children over to the very people that hate you and your children. It is a must we start obtaining buildings or building these buildings ourselves. Or start clearing out your basement. Start clearing out an extra room. Getting a chalkboard, and let's go to work. You don't need, and Dr. Umar Johnson, for all those who listen to my show with Dr. Umar Johnson on there, he said you do not have to be state certified to start your own private school. We can do this. There are ways around the system. Let's get it done before they change the system. Let's start opening our African-centered schools. Let's see here. We can also, Brother Majestic is the one who brought this to my attention, we can have a garden that these children, or instead of playing mindless, numbing games on recess, they can actually get out here into the garden, and on the other side of the school, you can have a grocery co-op. So you won't have to go to the Arab. You don't have to go to the Korean. You don't have to go to whomever to get your food. You know this food was grown by your children, and it's organic food. For the parents who can't pay tuition, then volunteer to be a cashier or a stock person in that co-op that's attached to the school. It's a must that we as African people start educating our children. Now, I have a little rough draft here myself of what I need to do to start my school. Me and my hubby, we are in the process of relocating right now, so I had to put that kind of like on the back burner. But one of the things, four main or essential things that I need to start this school, I'm going to need money, building, school teachers, and furniture. For money, how am I going to raise that? Fundraiser, speakers, concerts, however I can get the money. I do not want to get a government grant. But like I said, fundraisers, speakers, concerts. I know some very influential people. Put them to work. If you know them and they will come and speak or do a concert at a minimal price, then get it done. Just being a name dropper ain't going to get it. You need to make sure that these people are going to be beneficial to the movement at hand. One of the things Brother Raw told me that Aisha Sekhmet said, we're the only people that have a movement that's not moving anywhere. We're the only people that have a movement that's not moving anywhere. So the same people who you can name drop, oh, yeah, I know this person. Yeah, I know that person. Okay, if you know them so well, get them to work so you can start raising this money to start doing what it is that you need to do. Like I said, from fundraisers, you could be fundraisers, bake sales, doing a clothes drive, doing yard sale, party in the park, party after dark, whatever it is, you know, to raise the money that you need to get that school to obtain that building that you need to obtain. Getting the speakers. Getting the concerts, the building. It could be commercial property for lease or black-owned property, a delinquent property. For the black-owned properties, a lot of these older elders, they will give you the property. They will, if you tell them what you need their property for, they will give it to you. they have no use for it anymore. And they're at the dawn of their life. Excuse me, at the, what is it, dawn, sun, dawn, to dusk, the dusk of their lives. They really don't need it anymore. And if it's going to be used for something admirable as teaching our children, then what is the problem? So, like I said, commercial properties for lease, black-owned properties, or delinquent properties. Check your county or your city if they have tax sales, not tax sales, people who are delinquent in their taxes. Let's see here. School teachers. There are a lot of teachers that are underpaid. If you can get 1,000 students, and I know that's a lot, especially for us who live in small cities, but I'm about to move to a bigger city. We can get 1,000 students. We sit up here and we tell the parents, we're going to have your child in school before you go to work and well after you get off from work. So you can have some peace and quiet when you get to your home. Your children will be eating organic meals. They will be learning X, Y, and Z. They're going to be learning trigonometry, chemistry, physics, astronomy, astrology, excuse me, biology, all this good stuff, our history. And like I said, no sugar, you know, nothing that's going to make them hyper. I'm sure parents will pay $150 for their children to go to a private school, a accredited private school. If you can charge them $100, do you know how much money that is per month? You can pay your teachers because some of your teachers are going to be teaching two or three classes, so two or three different type of classes. You're going to need foreign languages, Spanish, foreign languages like Spanish, Portuguese, French, Swahili, Arabic, Japanese, Chinese. You're going to need arts, sciences, chemistry, biology, astronomy, astrology, physics, botany, geology, math, trigonometry, geometry, algebra, agriculture, holistic, organic, how to raise their food in a holistic and organic manner. So this is my little rough draft of my school that I want to go ahead and implement. And like I said, for all those who tuned in to my show, Dr. Umar Johnson, he said the hardest part of this is obtaining a building. So let me just say this real quick. It is a must. Understand me. Your children are being severely miseducated in this school system. Once again, let me reiterate. They are being severely and gravely miseducated in this school system. They are being taught to admire white people and to hate their black skin. They are being taught that the slave trade never existed. We were only indentured servants. They are being taught that they are not good in science, they're not good in math, when they are the mothers and the fathers of math and science. Brothers and sisters, it is psychotic to hand your children over to some psychopaths and some sociopaths to educate them, and they have proven that they hate you. Brother Person Kid, you want to chime in?
Yeah, when you were talking about getting building, there's different methods, of course, that you can do it. And especially with, there's so many brothers and sisters, especially ones that I know that are, you know, and especially in like in the Atlanta area, there's a couple of brothers I know that are phenomenally conscious. And that's, you know, I've given them insight into how to go ahead and doing certain things. Now, in your area, I'm not really sure I'd have to do some research. But there are ways that we can actually do this, okay? When you were talking about land, and education ties in very close to this, especially when it comes to doing a building or whatever, even if you don't have the building, you can still, it's not having the land as much as it's what you do with it, okay? When I walk around where I'm at with all these Mexicans, they have, every day, they have garage sales. Every day. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I see no more than maybe 20, 30 yard sales and garage sales. And they're constantly, and they have customers. So, and they don't own the place. These guys are renters, and you know, and the black folk, most of them I see are locked up in their houses or out drinking beer. Okay, but it's not what you have; it's what you do with what you have. Whether my folks, my mom and dad had a school back in the 70s. Okay, and this was what they did. Okay. We didn't have a building, and they were hardcore nationalists. I'm talking, and that's why when my father talked to Brother Kush, and he said that Brother Kush and Brother Jeannie were actually our next, what we all need to strive to be, because they knew Brother Kwame Ture and Stokely Carmichael. My mom and dad did. They knew them personally. And they said that they see that, and they see out of what they saw in Malcolm X, they see that in Our Cause, and with Brother Omar, Umar Johnson, they see that. And they say that that's what we need to strive for. The thing that they were saying is is if you have a school like my mom and dad did in the 70s, they didn't have a building. What they did, and keep in mind, in the 70s, they really held a lot of information from a lot of the youth. Okay, back then we had all these hook-nosed bagel eaters. They were running around telling us that, you know, we could all sing Kumbaya, hold hands, and that we were half Jewish. My mom and dad nipped that in the bud. They said, no, we are going to teach these young children and all the neighborhood. They would come to my in the living room. Okay, where we had six brothers and sisters in my family. They would sit in the living room every Saturday. And keep in mind, there wasn't a lot of money. We lived in the hood. I'm talking, you know, we're talking something you'd see at a good time. And my mom and dad were teaching them everything from two plus two to everyone from Father Divine to Malcolm X. They were teaching, and all the children would sit here in the living room as my mom and dad were going over, you know, who we are as Africans, what we should do. And even though that it might have had marginal effect, 45 years later, my father was over there in Philadelphia, and one of the there was a young lady who's a teacher that came up to him and says, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be where I'm at, because you taught me who I am when I was only 5 years old in your living room, and you taught me who I am. This was like 45 years later, and and that was someone I was babysitting, you know, back in time as a child, back when that happened. I had no idea, you know. But to know that it's not what you have, it's what you do with what you have. If you don't have the building, if you have a living room, if you have a garage, if you have something, you can do anything you want, okay? You can build and create and make wealth and make enterprise, even if it's a shack, okay? The thing is how you do it and what you want to do. And, I mean, it's a lot simpler. It sounds a lot simpler, but look at it this way. You have so much math, and like, whether it's Khan Academy.
No, it's really simple. We're not going to complicate it, brother, and I'm sorry to cut you off.
We're
not going to complicate a very simple concept. It is very simple. My thing is, if you're not in the process of moving or making some kind of life-altering change, then clear out whatever it is you have, one extra bedroom, one whatever. Hell, outside, we are sun people. I don't care what it is you do. In your garage, whatever it is you do, you take your babies and you take control of your children. It is simple. It's not hard. We've got to move on to medical because we are running out of time. We got 3 minutes before I got to start this Q&A. Medical. Medical, like I said, that is directly linked into your land and your agriculture. If you're eating organic food, if you're eating healthy, even if you eat meat and you're raising the animals, the goats, I hope you're not raising pigs, you know, the cows or whatever it is that you're raising, the chickens or the biddies or whatever it is, you know, you will be much healthier, so you don't have to worry about medical. But we can really heal ourselves, like I said, with the food we eat. But just in case we need people in the medical field, we can get them from bush doctors to MDs, from midwives to herbalists. I know a brother right now out in Colorado, and this brother is going to school to be a doctor. And he's going to be like a holistic doctor. All those who are familiar with Dr. Phoebe, all those who are familiar with Dr. Lady Lowell Africa, Queen Afua, he's taking it to the next level. So therefore, this is something that we have to do whenever we're going into these colleges and extracting this information and this education or miseducation or indoctrination. We must do it from an African-centered viewpoint and think about it as such. And make sure that we're coming back and healing our people when we're going into these medical schools, because they are killing. They are literally killing us in these hospitals. They want your melanin. They want your cells for stem cell research to clone you. You might, you know, when you go in and you give birth to a child, they take your afterbirth. What the hell they need that for? What the hell do they need that for? You might be surprised. You might see a mini-me in 20 years walking around looking just like you, and you didn't give birth to this person. So they're using a lot of, because they want to extend their time here on Earth. I'm not trying to get spooky. This is science. This is what they're doing. A lot of people in Baltimore, Maryland come up missing. Why? Ask John Hopkins. Why a lot of us are sitting in mason jars on these mad scientists' desks? Ask that. Why is so many unsolved disappearances there in Baltimore, Maryland? They're killing you with these synthetic drugs. They're making our babies mentally and physically ill and sick. They're rude and disrespectful. They have no bedside manners while taking your money and killing you at the same time. Wouldn't it behoove us to make sure our children are well-versed in math and science so when they go and get this information, being like, say, a herbalist or whatever the case may be, they're doing it from an African-centered point of view to make sure you stay healthy, you live? This is what people do. This is how you build your nation. Right now, we're below the bar. We got to get moving, people. They stole all this information from Imhotep and gave it to Hippocrates or whatever his name is, Hippocrates or whatever. I really don't care what his name is, but I do know who Imhotep is, and I do know how to pronounce that. We got to get back to the basics. We got to get back to what is in our DNA, and we have to make sure our babies are well-versed in our math and our science, so they can help heal us. Moving on to security, and I'm going to bring my brother in on this, Brother Majestic. I think he just sent me a message. I'm going to go ahead and bring him on in on the security part of it. Brother Majestic, are you there?
I'm coming.
Brother Majestic.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, sir. Let me just go ahead and say this before you chime in. We need to have every man, woman, child armed. Mothers and fathers, let your sons and daughters be taught African martial arts. The older G's out here, the ones who've been there, done that, y'all need to start organizing the street tribes, the jogger tribes. Give them some kind of direction. Teach them the military skills that you have learned. Brother Majestic, what is your take on security?
Well, first I want to say greetings to everyone, brother, person, kid. One love to you. It's always a joy.
Okay, we talked before.
Yeah. It's always a joy listening to you, man. You really be breaking us off. And I'm gonna say this little phrase. This little phrase. My sister mentioned it last night, and it stuck with me, and it's very powerful. She said there will be no more slaves if they quit participating. Okay. Now, everything we're trying to do, everything we are doing, everything we're going to do, we have to be mindful that it starts with unification, whether it's two or 20 or 20,000. We all have a common goal. A lot of people will do if they are exposed. Therefore, we have to make our people aware by being in the streets. For example, I call on 10,000 brothers and sisters, mainly 10,000 brothers, to take it to the streets. To roam the streets and be visible as a protector and a provider for our people, even from ourselves, better yet, the enemy. In doing that, they will also collect data. The data that they will collect will be basically given the information of the needs and the services that our people need. Once our people know that this is there, that this is out there, and they have people that look like them there to protect and serve and put pieces of the puzzle together as in solution-orientated, then they will come forward. They will be glad to come to the schools. They will be glad to put $100 in the pot for buying buying multi areas of land. They will be more than happy because they know, they see that we are tangible to them. We're giving them the light that they gave up on. Now, one of the being armed, you must be armed because you won't get dogged out. You won't get dogged out if they know you got your sidearm. They lived a long time in the Western days. And the reason why, because everybody was packing. Ain't nobody going to be too all jazzy. And then you got, you do have your you know, your Wild Wild West cats. But we know their courage comes from a bottle and other little substances that alternates their thinking. So we will have brainwashing classes also. Now, to protect and serve our people is very vital in any and everything we do. And we need as many of our people on one accord as possible. And the only way to make that happen, I can't stress how we need 10,000 men in every city and town. And you can hit me up and I can go into more detail on how you can organize this and do this in your various cities and towns.
Y'all can find this brother, Majestic Love Power, on Facebook. Once again, Majestic Love Power on Facebook. Or you can find him on www.thedropsquad.com, and he goes up under the same name, Majestic. So if y'all need to get in contact with him, that's how you can get in contact with him. But go ahead, Brother Majestic. I do apologize.
No problem. Well, we also have to be mindful that everybody that is conscious may not look like the typical, stereotypical conscious person that you have grown to see. Matter of fact, dreadlocks became a fad 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I had cut mine off. 20 years ago, actually, because it became a fad. So we have to be very mindful that we don't use that what you would call conscious prejudice and elitism by the way one looks to determine what's actually in the inside of that book. Our main goal is to be able to let our people know that they can count on each other. And the only way to do that is for those that have the intelligence, the skills, and the gift to actually be out there, tangible to them. So you would knock on the door, and you would ask the household, are they okay? What needs do they have? And if there's needs that they need, then we will supply them. We will bring the resources over. If you want to shut down Walmart, give me the people on the street, and we will shut down Walmart. Within 2 weeks, I have Walmart putting $50 million in an account. If you think I'm lying, show up. We just have to rally. We have to rally and get the people together and get ready to do something. So I advise everybody to get close to 100 people. Get close to 100 people. If it's 25 of you in the chat and 100 listening on the phone and those that listen to the archive, get close to 100 people. And those 100 people, y'all already know the common bond. The common bond is that you really don't have shit and you're really not going to have shit as long as you're doing it up under their construct.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So now that you know the issue, you talk about the solution. And these are practical solutions. Grow your garden. Get you some non-genetic engineered seeds and grow your gardens. I don't care if you're in an apartment. Use your patio. You ain't on there anyway. Grow your gardens. All right. If you don't, and if you really don't have no earth around you, go to somebody else's house and grow it there. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you eat that, and know that that's how you eat. Take pride in it. Take care of it. Don't get tired of it. Do it. And when you really learn how to become self-supporting, of putting your hands in the dirt, there's a lesson in that, and there's a connection in that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We have to become one with that for our existence. Because if you don't grow it, or you don't get it from someone else that grows it correctly, it's going to kill you. And we need to quit ignoring that.
Brother, can you say that one more time? If you don't grow it, please say that one more time, because I don't think they heard you.
If you don't grow it or get it from someone that grows it correctly, it will kill you. And if you think I'm lying, go into a hospital, and I guarantee you 97.9% of the deaths that pass through that hospital are because of what they eat. And believe me, when you eat it, you made a choice to do it. Stop playing. It's time to live because we got work to do. Our youth are watching us. The people we don't even see are watching us. And we are influenced. So we have a lot of nerve to be wasting breath in our existence and not doing the necessary things that need to be done. And, of course, we have to do it together. Every single person that does one thing, that's beautiful, and that's powerful, and that's effective. But we have to do things together.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to just make this little disclaimer. Our children are going to rise up, and they're going to buck at us. They're going to whoop. I'm going to tell you the truth now. You don't... Family, y'all can say whatever. Y'all can say, oh, my child ain't going to do such and such and such and such. They're going to whoop our ass. Our children are learning they're seeing something. Not most of our children, but some of our children. They are uncomfortable with this educational system, and that's the reason why they're bucking at the system and pushing the envelope and being disrespectful to these benevolent, as they call them, these benevolent white teachers that goes into these inner city schools. They're bucking against these people. They're acting out against these people because they know they're being lied to. They know that you're telling them about the Easter Bunny. They know you're telling them about Santa Claus and Jesus Christ, and they know you're lying to them. They're going to get their weight up, family. They're going to get their weight up, and they're going to come back, and they're going to whoop our asses. You better get a control of your children right now. It's that serious. Now we have to move on to the media. That is our last topic, media. And Brother General D, I am coming to you in 1 second, brother. Just be peaceful. I'll be with you in 1 second. The media. We have to take control of the images that we and our children see. Some parents think it's okay to let your children be in front of the computer all day. Some people think it's okay to let the television or telling lies to your vision raise your children. Some people think it's okay to get your children those little gaming things. I think it's okay in moderation. Don't get me wrong. I think it's okay, and Brother Majestic can attest to this. I think it's okay in moderation. But not in excessiveness. One of the things that we were raised on Kool-Aid, which ain't nothing but sugar, soda, Fun Dip, Pixie Sticks, the bomber popsicles, the red, white, and blue popsicles. We ate things that weren't supposed to be eaten, like worms. We dug in lightning bugs, and we took their little glow thing out. We did a lot of crazy stuff. One of the things that I think kept us going, kept us alive, is that we got outside and we played when our parents were on the phone. Get out of my conversation. Go outside and play. Take your ass on outside and play. What you in my conversation for? Stay in the child's place. But we're sitting up here We're letting Nicki Minaj raise our children. Do you really want your child to idolize a Barbie doll, who would be her figure, when they put it into a life size, the ratio is completely off and she would be deformed. So therefore, do you really want your daughters idolizing some kind of deformed mutant figment of some white man's imagination? Really? This is what you're teaching your children. Don't let Nicki Minaj raise your children. Don't let Lil Wayne. You do not own not one TV station. Hispanics have infiltrated this country, and really I don't give a damn. That's not my battle right there. But my thing is, Hispanics have infiltrated this country, which was theirs to begin with, but they have infiltrated and crossed over these imaginary borders, and they own their own TV stations, and you don't. And you've been here for 400 or 500 years, and you don't own shit. You don't own anything. BET does not belong to you, family. And if it did, I would not brag about it. But Bob Johnson, he sold out a long time ago. So you don't own anything. TV One is ran by Sephardic Jews I think they're Sephardic Jews. But it doesn't matter. They're small hats, however you look at it. So, family, you don't own anything. You don't control the images that your family sees, that your children see. They're idolizing these people who are degenerate beings. Family, we got to get it together. It is just that serious. When your daughter starts relaxing her hair and putting weave in her hair, and you're wondering, why does she hate her natural hair? Well, maybe because Nicki Minaj and Lil' Kim are sitting up here arguing over wigs. And who came out with the neon color wigs? Really, it wasn't over wigs. It was who can be the biggest, you know, whatever. So, anyway, that being said, family, we have to control the media, the images that we see. Until we can control the media, turn the goddamn TV off. Throw it outside. I don't give a damn if it's a plasma or whatever it is. It was money not well spent. Throw the shit out. Throw it out. Your children don't need to see it. They do not need to see it. Anything that they need to see, you can monitor what they're looking at on the computer, monitoring the information that they're getting from the computer. But there's nothing productive. There is not one single network on TV today that is productive for your children, not Disney, not Nickelodeon, not anything. You're talking about Hannah Montana. Do you know how many black little girls, little African babies I see walking around with Hannah Montana book bags? There's something severely wrong with this picture. So people, family, my love, my beautiful black butterflies, turn the TV off, throw it out, or control your own media. One of the two. Brother Person Kid, before I let Brother General D on the line, is there any way you can tell us about how to control our own media?
Definitely. Hotep Sisters, that's why, when I hear you, it's like listening to Sojourner Truth. It's like when I listen to Sister Nefertari, I'm listening to Harriet Tubman. You're freeing us. Okay, bottom line. I'm just sitting here. I feel like I can fly. I don't want to use an R. Kelly term, but I just feel like you just made me feel so good. What you just did is showed, here's how we can control the media. And speaking of entertainment and stuff, I tour on the road with a lot of celebrities, and I've been with a lot of these folks that I'm not only a musician, but I'm also into computer programming and things. So I tour with a lot of these guys. Okay, I've been around for like over 30 years doing this, and media. And as long as we all understand what media is, it's not just the TV, it's not just what you see in the movies. Media is not only entertainment; it's also what they use for education. What they try to socially engineer you. It's used as a military tool. If they want to destroy you, they'll use it. These are the things that are being used against us. Like, case in point, what our sister was just telling us, she just said, look at all these Hannah Montana. What do you think that's imparting into these young sisters' minds? Okay? They're using it as a social engineering tool. When they wanted to kill brothers, what they did is they created a baseball team called the Colorado Rockies and sold a bunch of what's called swag at the time, you know, before these, you know, Negro rappers called it. They were selling that to promote to the Crips so the brothers would kill each other. Okay? That was promoting as a military tool. This media control is everything from Facebook. When I say to control our media, one, we have to speak with one voice, okay? When I say one voice, we all know who's dogging us, and we know who we have to conquer and not only compete, but conquer and wipe off this planet. We know what we have to do. When I say control media, everything from your Facebook page to your YouTube page should have some kind of information. Brother Majestic just gave you the plan. He gave you he just wrote another chapter and the blueprint for Black Power with what he just told you guys. He just gave you instruction manual of what you need to do. Everything from our Facebooks to our blog talks should be imparting information of this is how you do this. This is how you do this. I can give a whole lecture on what you should do, where you invest, or how to trade, or where to put your money, or you know where in Africa what banks you should go. These are the things that we need to be talking about on every YouTube channel, not Nikki because her hair is something else, or because this guy's got more information because he's from Kemet and this guy's a Moor. No, everything we talk about is everything from how to grow this, how to secure this, what kind of locks to buy, how to use a gun, how to use our African arts. How we should be talking about how to, you know, here's how I clean the stains out of my shower. This is how we sew socks. This is every little thing. This is media because this is an educational tool. And as Brother Majestic was telling you, a militaristic tool. As our sister was telling you, a social engineering tool. We control the media by using the mechanism that we don't own right now. We don't own television or the TV stations. We don't own the Internet. But we can use those to make sure we control and project the images and the things we want to teach and learn with, okay? That's what I'm saying, teach and learn. That is the way to control. If you know every Facebook right now that black folk have, of course we like to talk about who knows more than who, whatever. But if you have a talent or a skill that you can teach other black folk, post that link. I'm looking at the links in the chat room. This is so productive, all the things from growing seeds to, I mean, this is the things that we should be doing constantly. Every one of your programs, there should be a whole list of links where people can go to things that they need, whether it's how to grow tomatoes, as Sister Fasami was talking about in the basil, or whether it's like Brother Majestic was saying about how, you know, of growing seeds or security. Every blog talk, every Facebook should have at least 10 to 12 links on how we should do this. Something that you've learned, okay, something that's productive, that, and I don't care if it's a YouTube channel and these guys are debating, you should have a link or something to tell someone how to do something that will better their lives as an African. That's how you control your media.
That's right. That's right. Okay, now I have to get to our brother, General D. General D, are you there?
Yeah, how y'all doing tonight?
How you doing, brother?
All right.
I see you lighting up the chat room. What's up? I mean, go ahead and enlighten us on your plan. You say that you have a plan. So let us hear your plan because, like I said, and it was my disclaimer at the beginning of the show, this is just the bones of it. This is not the end-all, be-all. You have to tweak it according to your geographical location and the resources that you have available to you. So what is your plan?
My plan is quite simple. First of all, to give a disclaimer, so to speak, first of all, I have two degrees. I have two business degrees, and one of them is an MBA. So I know a little bit about business. First of all, black folks, we suffer from a severe problem of lack of wealth, and we talk too much. We do a lot of talking, but we never really come down to a solution and something tangible and something doable. A lot of times these nationalists talk about stuff that's really not really plausible or will not be, cannot really be done. As far as 35, I mean, there are around roughly 35 million African Americans, people that say that they're African Americans in this country. It's probably going to be a little bit more once the census data comes out. It might be 40 million now. Who knows? But you're not going to get all 40 million people on one page. That's quite impossible. You're not going to get 100% of anything. However, what we can do is we can break that down to a percentage. And it's quite simple. We need a city first. Italy, that wasn't an Italy first, then a Rome. That was a Rome, then an Italy. So we need to start off with a city. If you canvass around the United States, and first of all, you have to have a strategy. If you canvass around the United States right now, there's two prime states that would be suitable for this city, and that's Arkansas or Mississippi. And the reason why I say those two states is because they only have 3 million white people in those states, and there's 1 million black people in those states. So those states are roughly around 4 million apiece. So if you take 3 million people and add that to that 1 million, now you have a majority in that state. Now you can elect governors, you can elect state representatives, and so forth and so on. But first of all,
let me stop you right there. You're still trying to work within the system, and I'm that's not to lamb blast you or to put you on Front Street. You're still trying to work within it. See, what we're trying to do is there's a difference. What we're trying to do is, and it's a couple of things that I have a problem with, we're trying to build our complete, total nation. No city, no nothing like that. Our nation with nobody else but new Africans and Africans, period, point blank, no matter where you fell in the diaspora. Number two, when you say Arkansas and Mississippi, those two places, unless you're in lower Mississippi, are landlocked, especially Arkansas. I would prefer you to say South Carolina or the lower region of Georgia or maybe even Florida, where we have a water mass and we can get the hell out when we need to. But anyway, go ahead and continue your what you were saying, brother.
First of all, you have to work within the system to get out the system. When the Euros came over here to New America, they didn't come over here just killing all Indians. They came in here, they worked through the system, then they got the Indians up out of here, and we see the results as in 2010. Like I said once before, we need a city. But how are you going to raise that money? It's quite simple. We can easily raise $1 billion, and that's quite simple. If 3 million people donate $100. That's $3 million right off the bat. Now you're looking at forming relationships with these oil-rich African countries like Nigeria, Libya, Sudan, Angola. These people can donate $10 million. Now you're looking at corporate Fortune 500 corporations. Those corporations, once you build an infrastructure or once you build land or a city, those people are going to want their products inside that city, and you're going to charge them for that to do business with you. Now you look at a city. You look at a city of 3 million, nothing but blacks in there. The size of you take that would be Brooklyn and probably Manhattan. Now you visualize Brooklyn and Manhattan with nothing but black people, nothing but businesses. Now you're trying to build wealth. Now you're building wealth because all the businesses are quite the majority of the businesses are black people. Now you're building wealth. Now you can form relationships with people across the Atlantic and eventually move over across the Atlantic once you build wealth first. Not anything if you broke.
Brother, you're breaking up. You're breaking up a little bit. What did you just say?
You cannot do anything if you broke. And black folks right now, we broke. We don't.
No,
we
we're
don't
not. That's a misconception. We're not broke. We're not.
Let me
finish my statement, brother. We are not broke. We are the largest. We spend more money, as Brother Person Kid broke it down at the beginning of the show. He's in the economy. He's into international trade and all this other good stuff. We're not broke by a long shot.
But listen,
we don't have any real brother. We don't have any real wealth. We don't have any land mass. We don't have things of that nature, but we're not broke. Don't get it twisted. We just choose to spend our money on idiotic bullcrap, and that's the reason why we haven't gotten anywhere. But we're not broke. I think. Look, we're at the finish line here. Everybody, put it this way. In this race of life, everybody is at the finish line. We're still back behind the start line, tying up our shoes, talking about what we need to be doing. We have no time to think on a micro level. We have to think on a macro level. We have to think large scale because we have a lot of catching up to do. We have a lot of late night studying and a lot of burning the oil, the midnight oil that we have to do. We have no time to pussyfoot or trollop through the tulips, as Brother Malik Zulu Shabazz says. We have no time for that. We have to get it, and we have to get it in right now. Now, I'm not badgering you because me and you don't totally agree.
But listen to what you just said. You said that we spent X amount of dollars. That is true. We do spend X amount of dollars. But you got to understand something. You got to drill just a little bit further down on that. Okay, we spend that money. For instance, say I make $30,000 a year. Okay, that's $30,000 a year into that pot. But you got to ask the question, where did I get that $30,000? Well, I got that $30,000 from Whitey because I worked for him. So you got to understand who's controlling the money. You say that I'm saying that we broke is because all the money that we get from our salaries are from white people. If white companies, meaning white corporations, private, and public corporations and the government entity, which is white, if they fired all the black people tomorrow, there would be 95% of the black people in this country would be unemployed, period. So that means that we do not have any wealth. We are broke. We need our own economic center so we can own our own businesses, create our own wealth. You would not fire yourself if you own your own business. The majority of the people probably in the chat room probably work for somebody white.
Mm-hmm.
Can I interject something?
And sure.
This is Brother Person Kid. This is something that I had to learn. This country was built because of our talent, and this is the beauty. Whether they
that
have
be true.
No matter where we occupy, and I would love whether we have a city that's physically in one place, or we can have a city virtual online, or whether we have a city, as long as we all speak with one voice, this is the beauty about us, okay? Because we're working for all these other entities, which means that we have something that they want, or that they need, and that they use, okay? We're not profiting from it, okay? Yet we definitely, instead of saying broke, I would say, as someone said, misspent, okay? When we start to go ahead and start to collectively think as one voice and say, wait a minute, if we built these for all these other people, and they ask us for our talents, whether we're engineers, or whether we build websites, or whether we're, you know, we're working for such and such and such and such, that means you have a skill. You have something that somebody needs and wants. Now, all of a sudden, how do we use those skills together, okay? And if we have to do it in one place or if we have to do it in 1,000, as long as we can do that, because everybody here has skills, and that's what I love about us. We have something that the rest of the world wants and needs, okay? They need us, okay? Now the thing is for us to start saying, okay, hey, I could do this. I could do that. I'm begging for black folk to ask me for things. I mean, I can't wait to be able to give you everything I got and then some. You know, as an African, it's like breathing. Now we can start doing that for each other. If somebody knows how to mend socks, I'll show you how to trade in the markets. I mean, if somebody knows how to get stain spots out, I know a friend who's a gardener that can show you the best way to get fertilizer. You know, I mean, we have skills. Now it's time for us to deploy them.
Like I said once before, if we buy land, if we raise the money and buy land, and if we buy land, say 104 square miles, we can get 3 million people in that land. Now the government has to bring in infrastructure. So they got to create post offices. There go jobs. Supermarkets have to be created. Roads have to be built. Hotels have to be built that black people can own. Buildings have to be built. Houses have to be built. Those are jobs that black people now can have. And now you're building the economy, and more importantly, you're building wealth. Now, and let me say, this is not gonna be an overnight thing. Me or you or anybody in our 20s, 30s, and 40s, and 50s might not see this. We're talking about building for the future. This is a 100-year plan. So nobody's going to come in there trying to get rich because you won't see the fruits of your labor. Your children or your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren might see this. But the foundation is set, and this is something doable. We're talking about building wealth. This is how the Euros do it, and this is how it needs to be done, because you have to work within the system first. Then once you're in the system and you can control the system, then you can change the system. And
well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Before you make an absolute statement like that, that's one way to counter. Let me get my sentence out, sweetheart. That is one way to counterattack a system. Only one. Let me read something to you. And the listening audience, and this is something that I was going to get on earlier, Central African Republic. In the Eastern Central African Republic lies a vast territory covering more than 20 million hectares. What is 20 million hectares? That's the Australian or British thing for acres. And if you convert that, that would be 49,421,076 acres, totally free from any human encroachment. This is land where the rainforest of Congo meets with the rolling hills and the savannas of the north. It stretches from vast flowing and crystal clear streams in the rainforest and mountains to the mighty lazy rivers of Mabari, Chinko, and Vovodu, where they flow along huge plains and swamps. Brothers and sisters, if you stop buying weeds, if you stop buying your Nikes, if you stop buying PlayStation, Xbox, stupid stuff, maybe we can obtain this land. We're talking about 49. He's talking about a city, and brother, I'm not putting you down. But I'm thinking we are people who built the pyramids. We are people who created the sciences and math. We have to start thinking on a grander scale. 49,421,076 acres.
Where is
this? That's what I'm talking about, people. This is in Central Africa Republic. I guess it used to be the Congo. So my thing is, this is something we need to seriously think about. This is something, when I say we need to obtain land, we have to obtain security, we have to educate our children, we have to, what was the other things? We have to, the education, security, medical, technology. Do you understand? In that specific place that they're talking about, it's a thing called coltan. Coltan is an industrial name for columbite tantalite, a dull black metallic ore from which elements niobium or whatever, formerly columbium, and tantalum are extracted, whatever. I'm not a scientist, whatever. These minerals basically are what helps build our cell phones. That which you're talking on and that which you're listening to this show on, your computers and all other kind of electronic devices, these are the natural minerals that they are extracting from this area, rich in diamonds, rich in everything. So my thing is, we're talking about almost 50 million acres of land that has not been touched. It has not been inhabited. This is something we can think about. If we go over there, we don't like it, hey, we can go someplace else. But I'm saying, you have Sierra Leone, you have Liberia, you have Ghana, who is offering land. Let's not just think on the city level and getting into the local governments there. Now, right. If you want to work within that, fine, go ahead. But I'm talking about building our nation. That was the purpose of this show tonight. We need to build our nation. I do have a phone call, if you don't mind. I do need to take it. Go ahead, Brother Majestic. What did you just say?
Real quick, I want to drop this for everybody in the chat room and that's listening. If you want to take a look at a real-life infrastructure that is actually functioning in its unity as a people, functioning for 5 years. And if you go there, you will see a blueprint. You will see a plan on how to create your community village. So go to it. I put it in the chat room. Look at it all the way through and pay attention, and you will see, because everything that we do, whether we do it here and or in Africa or anywhere else, we have to be functionally, our unity has to be functional. And so the blueprint there, so go look at that. All right? I'm going to put it in there again. Mm-hmm. All right.
Please do. All right. We have 601-540 on the air.
All right. Hello. How y'all doing tonight?
How you doing, Brother Tianki?
I'm doing fine.
Okay, before you get started, sweetheart, before you get started, I got four men on the line, and there's only one woman on the line. Please, but be respectful, brothers. All right? But go ahead, Brother Tianki.
Yes, ma'am. I got two questions, one dealing with, you know, our country, and the other one dealing with our motherland. The first one is, brothers, and you too, Sister Fasumi, y'all can answer this question any way y'all want to. But as black businesses, which model should we follow? Which economic system should we follow? Should we keep on with capitalism, the free market economy, or should we switch to a more collective, socialistic, more community-based economy where it's not really about profit for the individual, but profit for the community. And my second question is, okay, I definitely believe that we should take back control of Africa, but what about North Africa, where you have millions of Arabs and other type of Caucasoids people call Berbers? Should we let them have North Africa, or should we just take that back? Because
okay, I'm going to address that first, okay? Stay on the line.
Yes,
first
ma'am.
Of all, when it comes down to letting them have North Africa, one of the things that was told to me a long time ago, and I read, and I cannot remember which book it was, but if you are a cracker or a Berber or a hairy back, unibrow, towel head person, in Africa, you are an invader or a child of an invader, so therefore, no, that whole continent, including the Middle East, belongs to us. Actually,
right.
You need to eradicate Mama Africa from them. What was the first question? I want you to repeat it, so make sure I have a thorough understanding of what you said.
Yes, ma'am, no problem. The first question was, when we start building our own economy and our own money system and our own finance, should we follow the American capitalistic, you know, gain for self capitalist
no.
system?
No, no. We had our own system before.
Okay.
Well, actually, let me answer it first.
Go ahead.
We had our own system before we ever came over here. We had our own government. We had our own economic system. We had our own spiritual path. We had our own way of raising our children. We have our own way of doing things that is in sync with the universe and in sync with Mama Nature or in sync with the Creator or in sync with whatever you want to call it. It was in sync with it. So we need to get back to that. It could be, like I said, a collective. It could be bartering. It could be whatever. Bartering and collective actually goes hand in hand, but it could be whatever. My thing is socialist, capitalistic, or whatever you want to call it, has no place in our society. That is a European concept, and if we're trying to get back to who we were, trying to get to the point of origin, we cannot hold on to these European concepts in the discussion. Now, the brother who... I think it was Brother General D.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I would say, I don't think there's been a system created yet that could work as well as any of those other systems yet. Well, like I said, capitalism is right now is the system to go with. I personally, I don't really like capitalism because it breeds greed, destruction, and death. But unfortunately, right now, that's the system that's in place. That's the only system that we know right now. So, unfortunately, that's the system that we would have to work with as of now.
This is Brother Person Kid. I'm sorry, can I answer that real quick? Because I'm going to come from a John Henry Clark standpoint. Okay? And this is something that Africans have to come to grip with quick if we're going to be around. As we're up against the wall, and Sister Fasami, I'm glad that you mentioned the fact that Africa, it belongs to us. Whether we're building a city in someone else's and diasporas and whatever, Africa is still going to be ours. It belongs to us, bottom line. When you're talking about isms, capitalism, socialism, these isms, I'm putting a little addendum to that. We should practice both. And here's what I mean. For us and our community, of course, we want socialism. We don't want any kind of the European infected with their type of madness. But with others, the root of the term capitalism is capitalize. We are to capitalize on them, destroy them, conquer them, exploit them, do everything, and get every piece of resource and leave them high and dry. Capitalize on them, sell our products at a premium, do everything we can to make sure that they cannot progress, and I'm talking non-Africans, and bring those resources for ourselves and have a very social and a very more sharing and a progressive environment for ourselves. There was a video I posted a long time ago, and this is why I see in an international trade front as well as an economic front, because I trade every day. And this is what other nations have done, which is why this quote-unquote capitalist agenda is failing. They watched the Man Friday, okay? Man Friday was a Negro show with Richard Roundtree, but that's how they used to progress their nation. And we see it on trade and bond desk every hour of the day, how these other nations are thriving. And 50 years from now, everybody, including all of us on the line, who are subjected to Europeans, will be subjected to these other nations. So, yes. Practice both, but for the reasons, capitalize on them, and be social for us.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to make this clear, because people are saying it's interesting to hear a black person say that capitalism is what's up. I think Jolly Ali, or Jolie Ali, I don't know which one it is, said it is so weird to hear black folks say capitalism is what's up. Let me put that as a disclaimer. On Black Power Radio, that is not our stance, okay? That is a caller, Brother General D, who is stating that this is the system that we are in right now, and we must learn to work within that system. This is not something I subscribe to or any of the other brothers on the line, Brother Person Kid, Brother Majestic, or Brother Pianki, subscribes to. So, that being said, no. Huh?
I said, I didn't co-sign for capitalism. I said, that's the system that we have. I said, capitalism breeds greed, death, and destruction. I think we should come up with a better concept, but no one has came up with a better concept yet. Until somebody comes up with a better concept, then to work within the system that we have.
I think you need to go back and replay this. I think you need to listen to the archives, because Brother Person Kid, he broke it down for us. He actually broke it down for us as a system that we can work within. Could be a barter, huh?
The concept is not in place yet. There's only really
A lot of things are not in place. Our freedom really is not in place. Us raising our children and having control of what our children see and what they are taught is not in place. What this program was intended to be was the catalyst to make sure that we are getting there and we do those things that we need. A lot of things are not in place. We are completely and literally, and I'm not saying this figuratively, I'm saying this literally, we are literally fucked, okay? Understand when I say that. My thing is this, I understand a lot of things are not in place, and that is what our responsibility as the leaders of today, getting prepared for the leaders of tomorrow, are trying to do, to make sure we lay that foundation, to make sure we have our own schools, our own medical system, we're teaching our children, we have our own media, our technology, all that good stuff, international trade, our economy, whatever it is, that was the purpose of the show. Now, I don't know, I hope everybody got, I mean, in the chat room, I'm listening and I'm looking, And everybody seems to agree that they're learning a lot, and they're taking notes on this. No, this is not going to be the end all be all, like we said. Add and subtract what you will, you know, on this skeleton. However, this is just a skeleton. Well, when you go on, look, Brother Pianchi, are you there? Well, let me ask Brother Pianchi one question. Brother Pianchi, are you there? Brother Pianchi. All right. One of the things that he told me earlier today was that he was listening to the Aryan Nation. Yeah, he is gone. The Aryan Nation show. And one of the things that they're thinking about doing, the KKK, Aryan Nation, skinheads, all of them are thinking about binding together and coming up under one umbrella. Did y'all hear me?
Yeah,
they're thinking about combining and coming up under one umbrella. While we're still sitting about, I'm not finished, brother. While we're still sitting here, talking about what we can't do and how big the situation is and all this other bull crap, their numbers, they had to reconstruct their organization because of the number of applications that they got. But we're always talking about what we can't do and what the problem is and how big the problem is. Well, goddammit, we've been talking about that for the last 90 to 100 years.
Thank you.
Since Marcus Garvey, we have been talking about that for a very long time. Now it's time to stop talking and actually doing it. I'm not bouncing ideas. This is not really a session for me. How passionate I am about this. This is not a session for me to go back and forth with ideologies and what capitalist system can be work or what can't work. This is get your ass up, step outside the door, physically move yourself to go and do something. Whatever it is, do something. That's all it's about tonight. If they can unite, then what's the problem?
Hotel.
What's the problem with us?
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry, Sister Masonmi, this is Brother Percy. I'm smiling so much. I'm speechless. You know, that's hard for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I mean, thank you so much. But if we don't have the thing in place, then put it in place. That's why I ask everybody, are you comfortable? If you're comfortable, then hey, then there's nothing for you to do. If you're uncomfortable, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, you just, whew. All I can say is speak, sister.
Thank you, brother. And we have Brother Pianchi back on the line. Brother Pianchi, tell them what you heard on the Aryan Nation show today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're
Brother Pianchi?
Yeah, I'm sorry. They're restructuring their whole. You hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yeah, they're restructuring their whole rank. You know, they're gaining chapters everywhere, and they have united with a Ku Klux Klan group. So their membership has probably gone up probably another 2,000, and that was straight from the one of their main leaders, their main ambassadors. I don't know if I should get an address out because I don't want them to start, you know, following the show. But yeah, one of their main leaders said that they're greatly expanding and they purchased a 15-acre compound in southern Tennessee.
Now they can purchase 15 acres, and I'm sitting up here talking about let's build a nation, and all I'm getting back is resistance. I don't want to hear no more resistance. Matter of fact, look. If you're talking about what we can't do, then you're impeding our progress. Get the hell out the way. Sit down, shut up, do something. I don't know. But we got to get free. It's imperative. They are killing our babies at an alarming rate. They are miseducating our babies. If you don't give a damn about something that Umar Johnson said, it stuck with me. Dr. Umar Johnson said, a nation and a people are judged by how well they treat their children. If you don't give a damn about your babies, if you don't give a damn about how they are misusing and mistreating and killing your children, then what the hell are you in this for? What the hell are you doing? Why are we doing this? Why are we putting our lives on the line? You got a 17-year-old brother on the line putting his life on the line for this. But yet still y'all want to put the foot around, talk about what we can't do.
I don't want to hear about what we can't do, because that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You keep telling somebody they can't, they will believe it. You keep telling somebody they stupid, they'll believe it. You keep calling somebody God, Queen, King, the mothers and fathers of civilization, the mothers and fathers of this universe and this planet, they'll start believing it. There's nothing we can't do. We built pyramids. Exactly, brother. We built pyramids. We built marvels. Do you understand the continent that holds the most out of the seven marvels of the world is Africa? Understand who you
can
are.
Can we start by buying some land so we can get us a place?
And brother, that was one of the first things we talked about, obtaining land. And we went through how we can obtain land, brother. We talked about that. There are brothers and sisters out here who are elders who will give you the land if you're doing it for a noble cause. They will give you the land. Ask Brother King Samir. Ask King Samir. They gave him 6 plots of land in Philadelphia. It's the point of getting up, getting out, and meeting people, physically meeting people, getting behind that computer screen, getting off the telephone, getting in front of the TV, and actually getting out and doing something.
That's right.
So let's not talk about, can we get land? We can get land. That's not a problem, brother.
No,
we can get that.
You're willing to work it and build, and then so be it. You know, can I say a little something on that money thing?
Yes, sir.
Well, this is the course of it. You got to remember, family, that we are only equal when we're in the circle. So long as we in the circle, we equal. I see for her need, she see for his need, he see for her need, and it goes around in a circle. And when you get rid of the need, then you don't have a want. And if you don't have a want, you won't have deception. You won't have thievery. You won't have killing, right? So we all equal in the circle, and we build to maintain for one another. No big eyes, no little U's, no greed. None of us want because none of us need. Got it? So that's the value system right there. He already told you, you got 400 people sitting in a four-hour lecture. Hell, how many houses was that person kid?
They could build 8 lavish homes. The Mexicans build in less time.
There you
8 lavish homes. And we keep talking about, oh, see, but you got to understand the problem is so big. Listen, people, understand me. Stop focusing on the problem, because we know it's enormous. We know it's big. So what the hell do you suppose we do? Nothing? No, we have to do something. So therefore, number one, is to obtain land. That's number one. That's the first thing we have to do. Let me go over it again for all those who weren't clear. It's to help build our infrastructure, farmland. These products will be used for the gross national income. It's the fact that we cannot depend on psychopaths to feed our children. We can use these products to stock our shelves in our grocery stores. We can use these products for medicinal purposes. It's not just about growing your food. It's about what you consume and put in your body. We can also use the barter system to help make us more financially independent. It's being a collective. It's being complete and being whole again. So once again, I had to go back over that just in case anybody had any kind of ambiguity when it came to that. We are about. That's rule number one. If you want wealth, wealth equals land. You ask anybody on the planet, what does wealth equal? It equals land. So, we're about to close out. We only have, a couple of more minutes. Let's see here. Probably one more minute left. But the bottom line is, family, I love you. I'm not here for a congeniality contest or a popularity contest. I'm here to help you. I'm here to help us get free. I don't care who likes me personally, who doesn't. Take notes. If you weren't able to take all the notes on this show, please go back and listen to the archives. If you missed something on the archives, go back and re-listen to it. Tune in tomorrow at 7 p.m., not 8 p.m., on my show, www.blogtalk.com/Fasami, for Brother Kush, the Black Unifier. He will be on there, and he's going to talk about the steps to freedom. If you really want to be free, I'm tired of talking about the problem. Let's talk about the solution. He will be on there discussing our solutions. We only got like 30 seconds left, Brother Majestic. I just wanted to give these last shout-outs. Please tune in tomorrow once again at 7 p.m. Brother, we got 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Be the power. Live the power. For we are the power.
Damn right. And on that note, I'm going to give a loud and proud Black Power, and I love you, family. Let's get it, as Brother Sun Nubian says. Let's get it. We ain't got no choice. And as Brother Majestic said, shit, we ain't got shit to lose. Let's get it.
Yep.